community. Speakers being told they could not use props or present documents. Speakers being told they could not talk during the 7 p.m. oral communications period because an item was on the agenda later in the evening. And then when that item came up, they were told they couldn't say what they wanted to because what they were saying was not narrowly enough pertinent to the item on the agenda. Speakers told to take down signs from the audience. Or members of the public threatened for placing a tape recorder at the public podium. If you saw this at any time in the last 2 or 3 years, I need to hear from you. And the phone number to call is 423-HUFF, 423-4833. And we'll have you make a declaration as to what you saw or heard. You can also give a call to the station and talk about it here, 427-3772. Finally, tell us if you witnessed one speakers being referred to critically by name by city council members and then refused a right of reply. Members of the audience told they could not boo or applaud. Individuals threatened for making silent gestures from the audience, such as a Nazi salute. Members of the media being told they could not video or photograph speakers from the front. The doors being locked at city council during meetings. Members of the public being warned privately, either by a police officer or a council member, that they would be barred. 7, the use of points of order, let's say, to interrupt speakers at the podium, the speakers from the public. Moving items on the agenda ahead many, many hours to deny an unpopular speaker the right to speak on those items and perhaps hope that the crowd would die down so there wouldn't be much discussion on an item. Starting meetings early. Or holding them at unusual or uncertain times, making it difficult for the public to attend. So there's a whole raft of things. Each of these things has happened at least once, and in some cases repeatedly, at city council in ways that deny the public meaningful participation rights in the process of supposedly being a part of a democracy or representative democracy in Santa Cruz. And if you've seen any of that, really important that you get on the horn and give us a call and let us know. It's even more important, however, if you've seen anybody beaten up lately or heard anything about that happening, that you tell us about that. So if your radios are working, please find a phone somewhere, panhandle 50 cents, hope the phone works, hope that you can get through at the studio, and give us a call, 427-3772. And if you're not, well, listen on. We got some more stuff coming at you anyway. Get to hear more of me. That's your punishment. So far, 3 documents have been filed in federal court. We sued the city council stating you're violating, it's a false arrest to violate someone, to arrest someone for a silent gesture from the audience. Like, you simply can't do that unless they're disrupting the meeting by, you know, stopping the meeting. And the meeting was stopped by the council. It wasn't stopped by me. It wasn't stopped by the individual who raised his hand and said, in essence, you're acting like a bunch of fascists. So they, in response to that, filed a 197-page document saying that the whole lawsuit was nonsense and it should be dismissed. The document I'm now going to read you is the document, as soon as I find the second page, that we filed in response, which says, no, this is a motion that's a good motion, a good lawsuit, and that the arguments by city attorney George Kovacevic, he's actually an assistant city attorney, are bogus. And here's what it says. Plaintiff filed this action for violation of civil rights after his arrest at a Santa Cruz City Council meeting when he refused to leave at the direction of the mayor and a police officer. The plaintiff made a fleeting, silent Nazi salute toward the mayor after he refused to allow another person to speak during the public comment period. He names as defendants the City of Santa Cruz, the mayor, and the other members of the City Council, as well as the arresting officer, Lauren Baker. In their motion to dismiss, the defendants, the city and the police, claim that they had probable cause to arrest the plaintiff, that's me, under Penal Code Section 148 for obstructing, resisting, or delaying an officer in the performance of his duties after plaintiff refused to comply with the officer's demand that he leave the meeting. 148 charge, this is the first time this has appeared in this discussion or in any kind of booking sheet. In fact, it isn't even on a booking sheet. I was arrested on another charge, a 403, which is disrupting a public meeting, and I was told I was being arrested on a trespass charge. And in fact, the tapes document that the police didn't know what I was being arrested for, and in fact, they refused to tell me for 10 minutes after my arrest, which made the whole arrest illegal to start with. But now they're claiming, as this whole legal process unfolds, they're arresting me for a 148, which is the catch-all phrase. It says, if you talk back to the officer, if you obstruct, resist, or delay, that's a misdemeanor. Now, in fact, I did nothing of the kind. When the police officer said I was under arrest, I immediately went with him. I cooperated fully. And the only thing I did was I loudly asked, what am I being arrested for, and got no answer as Officer Brandt held me in his squad car. So, the attorney David Beauvais and attorney Kate Wells then deal with some of the arguments raised by the city. The city claims that my attorneys claim, and I think properly so, that the city arguments are specious, and here's some of the responses. The defendants did not have probable cause to arrest me. The city didn't have probable cause to arrest me is here's the reasoning behind that. The city argues that probable cause existed to arrest me because I refused to comply with Sergeant Baker's order to leave the meeting. They characterize this recalcitrance as a violation of Penal Code Section 148. Again, we've talked about that, which prohibits obstructing, delaying, or resisting an officer in the performance of his duties. And then the validity of this contention depends entirely on whether the sergeant's orders to leave were lawful. And that, in turn, depends on whether the sergeant had probable cause to believe that I had violated some law. A police officer is not a law unto himself. He cannot give an order that has no colorable legal basis and then arrest a person who defies it. A refusal to comply with the commands of a police officer does not violate Section 148, where the officer's intrusion is not otherwise legitimate. In this instance, the intrusion was not legitimate because I had a right to be present at this regular city council meeting that was open to the public as long as I did not disrupt it. That right is embodied in California Government Code, Section 54953A, the Brown Act, which states all members of the legislative body of a local agency shall be open and public, and all persons shall be permitted to attend any meeting of the legislative body of a local agency, except as otherwise provided in this chapter. As appears from the complaint, the allegations which are deemed to be true for the purpose of this motion, plaintiff made a silent gesture, I'm the plaintiff, that lasted barely a second, which resulted in no disruption of the meeting. At the time of the arrest, the sergeant told me that he was not sure what charge he was using to justify. He speculated it might have been trespass. He nevertheless completed the arrest without apparently having any clear charge in mind. Afterwards, I was advised that I was arrested, as I said before, for 403, which is disrupting a public assembly. So, and that charge was dropped. It was actually never filed by the district attorney, never reached the court. And I'm beginning to realize, though this is pretty thrilling stuff, for those who really want to follow it further, you can give a call to the Huff line, 423-HUFF. I think it's pretty technical. But, you know, it shows just essentially how empty the arguments of the city are on this matter. The question is going to be, real question is, will the judge grant an injunction? Not just grant, you know, said, yes, this one thing was wrong by the city, but will it acknowledge that there is a pattern of misbehavior by the city council? And as I said, that depends to some extent on whether people are willing to stand up and be counted on this issue where they've seen abusive behavior happen. So consider this and do get in touch, 423-4833. And give me a call on this issue. And now a little music.
There once was a time when everything was cheap, but now prices nearly put a man to sleep. When we pay our grocery bill, we just feel like we're making our will. Tell me, how can a poor man stand such times and live? I remember when dry goods were cheap as dirt. We could take two bits and buy a dandy shirt. maybe get a shirt that another man wore. Tell me, how can a poor man stand such times as this? Prohibition's good if it's conducted right. There's no sense in shooting a man till he shows flight. Officers kill without a cause and complain about the funny laws. Tell me, how can a poor man stand such times and live? Most all preachers preach for gold and not for souls. That's what keeps a poor man always in a hole. We can hardly get our bread, taxed and schooled and preached to death. Tell me, how can a poor man stand such times and live? Oh, it's time for every man to be awake. We pay 50 cents a pound when we ask for steak. When we get our package home, a little water paper with a bristle and bone. Tell me, how can a poor man stand such times and live? Well, the doctor comes around with a face all gray, and he says in a little while you'll be alright. All he gives is a humbug pill, a dose of dope and a great big bill. Tell me, how can a poor man stand such times and live? Tell me, how can a poor man stand such times and live? Tell me, how can a poor man stand such times and live?
Panic Is On by Deborah Holland, Songs from the Great Depression. How Can a Poor Man Stand Such Times and Live by Blind Alfred Reed. Now back to the summit, and the next speaker is Larry Templeton.
To the mic.
Oh, you can't hear me?
Hey.
Okay. Well, hey, we got a camp out here. It's called Mount Calvary Church. They gave us permission to let people park in the parking lots. And we have our camp. You know, I told them it's going to be for 2 days, and they said, great. So anybody wants to come out there and park, they're more than welcome. If they want to set up tents, they're more than welcome. So I'll be here for a while if anybody wants to see us. We ain't very far away.
You're here.
Larry, I don't know if you've had a chance to look at our registration package yet, but there's a tour early Sunday morning if you're up for it. And we want to take everybody out there at once who wants to visit and
great.
A tour.
Great.
So that's for people that can get up early, because there's activities back here again right after 10 o'clock.
Wow.
And of course the church will probably be having church out there.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, you're more welcome.
And this is, I think we can kind of roll into open mic. Just a quick announcement before I introduce you, Jack. There's a lot of newspapers on one of the tables, and the reason for that is because we couldn't really get a lot of kind of copying done, so we took back issues of Street Spirit, which is a newspaper run by Terry Messman, and for my mind, one of the best, if not the best, street newspaper in the country, and it's got articles from brim full, from back to front, about the criminalization of the poor, about how encampments are doing, about defenses against sleeping ban laws of different sorts, and the meanest cities as well. And of course, there's also Homeward. And if you brought your stuff, please lay it out there. Anything you want to put out there, and if you have stuff you want copied, that's going to be possible too. We may make a copy run later tonight. Leave the stuff that you may want copied for the seminars tomorrow with Bernard, who spoke earlier, who's at the registration table. And now, without further ado, the man who came all the way from Portland with a whole gang of his cohorts, Jack Tafari of Dignity Village.
Yeah! Hi, people. I just want to say it's really nice to be here, to come down to this conference. And, we're from Portland. and we're called Dignity Village up there. And I know this guy over here, Robert Norris, you know, we've met like once before, you know. And much respect to this guy, you know, so, you know, for like hooking it up and helping hooking it up and all that stuff. But it's really good to be here. We're out in some damn, what is it, some kind of like federal park, you know, campground kind of thing, because we've been driving all night and all this kind of stuff. And I believe I'll take Larry up on that, you know. And because we consider paradise down here our sister tent city. It's our sister
tent
city.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so we're interested in hooking up, right, like with other tent cities up and down the coast, and of course overturning, you know, wicked nasty things like sleeping and camping and blanket bans. We're very interested in that. We're also interested in sort of uniting up, you know, with other tent cities, so we can compare like different strategies and look at the legal things that are going on lately. That's really interesting. And to find out how we can survive and how we can go forward and how we can prevail. So I believe this is like a wonderful opportunity for that. So I want to say it's nice to be here, and I'd like to thank Tom Levitz and you know, all the people for their wonderful hospitality here tonight. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah.
So anybody from Sacramento want to talk about the excitement of coming up here and how wonderful it is to be here, or how great Sacramento is? Or this is Clifford Crooks of the SHOC, Sacramento Homelessness Organizing Committee.
Hi, glad to be here and see so many people. Sacramento, it's really rough up there right now. People are going to jail for camping, of course. We had a lady go to jail a while back, about a month ago, for camping paraphernalia. She had a sleeping bag on her baby buggy with the rest of her stuff. So things are kind of tough up there, but I've got a plan. I think I'll reveal it tomorrow when we have the meeting, if there's time for it, of what we can do to Sacramento. What I want to do, just to give you a rough in, you know, a rough idea of it, is march on the Capitol and camp there, refuse to leave, and ask the governor to protect us from these hate crimes from all of the cities. I think it'd be politically disastrous for him if he was to chase off a bunch of families and, you know, all kinds of homeless, but I'd like to get families, as many as we can, and ask him for protection from these hate crimes. And if should he refuse us and send us to jail, Sacramento is a very sympathetic city as far as the public goes. I don't think he would dare. I doubt he'd even dare to take us to jail.
Not with Bill Simon chasing
him. Beg pardon?
Not with Bill Simon chasing
him. Yeah.
The other candidate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anyway, that's a part of it. I have a way that we can do it and sneak under the law by fooling them. It's a pretty extensive plan. I've been working on it for like, since I hit the streets and got pissed off at what was going on. So, but anyway, tomorrow we'll talk more about it. And I have defenses figured out. And it's not in concrete either. It's a workable plan. We can work with it. I'm sure everybody else has plans. And I think that we can work together this weekend, hopefully, and put something together real for Sacramento. We're ready to go to war, if that's the word you want to use. It's the word I use. Thank you.
Thank you. How about Berkeley? Is Berkeley around? And I know that we had JC from Catholic Worker, and I'm hoping Michael Deal comes of Berkeley. Yeah, Berkeley is, of course, a place where they have actually taken action at the city council level because of protests from people like JC. A year ago, they made it, you cannot arrest someone under 647J, the state anti-lodging law, unless they're, what is it, two warnings and one complaint, or is it two complaints and one warning? They made it the lowest priority for the Berkeley Police Department. So that's what protests did. Go ahead, JC.
All right. Welcome from Berkeley.
Walk closer to the mic.
Okay. Everybody hear me okay?
Here we go.
There you go. Okay.
I'm going to give you a sob story. Everybody's talking about things that we're able to do. I'm going to give you a story about something we weren't able to do. This year, a little bit earlier on, another worker house, basically they go and provide food and to some degree blankets and sleeping bags and such to folks on the street in West Oakland. This is done on Peralta Street around 34th, if anybody knows what that is, 34th and Peralta. Well, what happened is the city of Oakland now, not the city of Berkeley, they came in there and they said, look here, you guys are serving, you're feeding people. This wasn't like over in San Francisco now, this is Oakland now. And what they did is they shut the Peralta worker down for the fact that they didn't have the necessary health certificates. The fact they weren't serving out of a certified kitchen, they weren't serving out of a kitchen that had a health certificate. Because what they were doing is they were serving out of their household. They were going out 6-7 mornings a week, serving 140, 150 people on the streets without the use of a health certificate. So I don't know how Food Not Bombs is able to handle it over the city, but over in Oakland they're having a hell of a time. They tried to shut down Mother Right. Anybody ever heard about Mother Right here? She's been serving people, must be 10, 12, 15 years here. She's got a big, big following. They weren't able to shut her down, but they did shut down our sister house, Peralta Worker. And the Peralta Worker is going back to L.A. They gave it up. So if it's going to happen, you have to stick it out. You get arrested if you have to get arrested. Take them to jail. Go to jail. Go to do time in jail, not just a day or two, but maybe a week or a couple weeks or a month. And bring people with you. Because the city and the county are not going to want to deal with this. They want us to say, well, we'll move along. That's whether we're serving or we're being served. We are not going to be moved along. They can arrest us, and I'm going to get somebody right behind me, and they're going to have to arrest them. But in our struggles in getting people situations where they're allowed to sleep without being bothered, where they're being allowed to eat without being bothered, we have to be together on this, and we need to stick it out, and we need to go the distance. So I ask you to go the distance with one another. Thank you.
Yeah. Right.
And for those who want to read more about this struggle, the current issue, actually the April issue of Street Spirit, which is on the table, actually has a lead story on the front cover about this harassment and successful, unfortunately, persecution of the Peralta Catholic worker. Now, I understand that there's some folks who are foolish enough to come all the way from Seattle. Are any of these people still here, or have they left? I'm just wondering if anybody want to come and tell us what's cooking in Seattle. We know Seattle actually is the longest running tent city, but at least that's my information. Maybe we can hear why. Or whatever you want.
I'm not prepared to speak today. I'm very sorry.
Okay.
Open the mic, please.
Yell at me.
Don't let these people bully you.
I wasn't expecting to speak tonight. I'm just saying that we're here, and we'd like to share what's worked for us with you, so come and find us tomorrow.
Cool.
And
you're gonna be here tonight, right?
Yeah.
Cool. What's your name? Hey, still sleeping in Seattle. Okay. Now I understand also down that we got some folks from the Southland, Santa Barbara. In fact, Isla Vista, I don't think has showed up yet. I was afraid of that. So, who wants to go first, Santa Barbara or Isla Vista, or you want to fight it out?
IV.
So Isla Vista is, of course, the newest tent city that I've heard about. I thought they were called Camp Home Sweet Home, and I was told, where'd you get that from? That's ridiculous. The TP Village? I don't know. Maybe you can clear this up. What's happening in Isla Vista?
Hey, you know, TP was a long time ago, man. You know, we had everything going in TP a long, long time ago.
What's your name?
Guitar Dave.
Guitar Dave.
And all right. I tell you, I was wondering if you even recognized me.
No.
what it boils down to, Jennifer Jett is here, and she's really the one that should be speaking up here. There's a whole lot of shit that happened, okay, in the process. Jenny's been going through this now almost 3 years, okay? Everything that we could do as far as taking it to committees, to the county, to the do-do-do, and rah-rah-rah, I think you know what I'm talking about. We've done, all right? It's all on paper. We finally decided after a couple of our people were dropping like flies, in two weeks, we set up a tent village. That's what it was. Boom, right there. Right in Ascalia Park. We had bathrooms. We said, okay, well, we have to have health, you know. The health department has to be there. So, we were like, I told everybody when we did it, I said, look, be ready to go to jail tonight, you know. Be ready to go to jail. If you got a dog, you did a do, or whatever you're going to do, everybody came. All of a sudden, we're in there 14 days. I'm going, damn it. You know, what's up with this? You know, I'm like, well, I automatically thought, well, it was just the necessity, you know, law, you know, in the amendment, and it turns out that they never had any laws against anybody camping, shitting, doing anything in any parking lot of this stuff. All right. So, in other words, about the last 20 years, they've been putting people in jail. I have a couple friends that have died because of tickets that they have got released in the middle of the night. I don't know if anybody remembers Donald Dot Stevens. The shoot sheet, he put it out for 10 years. And I did. They called him a transient. You know?
That's a hate crime.
Yeah. Mr. Bob, yep, it is a hate crime. Well, you know, what it is now is we're still holding tough. They just passed the ordinance 5 days ago that you can't sleep anywhere between 6 and 6, da-da-da, you know what I'm talking about. We just had this meeting yesterday with Mark Cahoney. Mark Cahoney. Cahoney, that's what I'm calling him.
Cahoney.
Excuse me. All right. And he came in. There's Gail Marshall's right-hand man, the 3rd District Supervisor, whatever the hell he is. And he came in there and he brought 4 mental health people, 3 drug control, and all right. And we walked in. I was like, how much are you getting paid? Nancy, you were there, is that you?
No.
Oh, man.
I went off, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. Oh, man, this is a joke. We have told them what we wanted on and on and on and on, and they still keep coming back to the, we don't have the money for this, and blah, blah, blah. We don't want any of their money. We need support. That's it. We need a place to be to stabilize people's lives. Do you know, realize that this, is that Jenny? Where is Jenny out here? She needs to come up here right now because she is out of the Vista.
Hiding.
She's been, you know. Where is Mitch? I don't know. I thought there was more IVians supposed to be here. What it boils down to, they have completely shucked us on everything that we've tried to do. They know what we want. They keep coming back to, it'll cost us $250,000 to do this. We don't want their money. We have a non-profit. We can deal with this. We need either a lease of the land. You gotta understand, Isla Vista, you know, it's an unincorporated area. UCSB is buying up all the land. The Parks Department has 28 parks. 2 of them have bathrooms. God! No. Yeah, and you know all the parks that are designated for drinking don't have bathrooms. I asked the people at the meeting, I said, you know, you've got four mental health people here. Lieutenant Burton, who is the lieutenant of the police, I said, how many mentally ill people do you know that live on the street here? And he went, I said, besides for me. You know, and he was like, well, then it, I said, you know what, I don't know what you people, and I don't even know how much money you're making right now, but this isn't a joke. We need a place to sleep. We don't need to get tickets every night. If you think we're mentally impaired, you must be mentally impaired because you want us on the streets between 6 o'clock at night and 6 o'clock in the morning. You know, I mean, so what are you supposed to... what are you supposed to do? Hey, you know what? Somehow or the other, we got to make somebody listen. I don't know who that is. I'm a peon. I know how to go set up a tent and tell them to... Bah! You know? I know how to do that. When it comes right down to the... I need Jennifer Jett, wherever she is out here. We need to educate people. You know, hey, if it takes me more than two buttons to push on a microwave, I'm eating cold food. So you know, what it boils down to is we pretty much do have it together in IV. Nobody is leaving the camp. TP Village is holding strong as we talk.
Yeah.
And it's on.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
It's our
days. And there's a voice from Santa Barbara. Who wants to come up and talk? Are you guys going to talk together? We got Bob and Nancy, and I think Earl came up from Santa Barbara.
I'll come up here.
Santa Barbara is the one of the few places other than Portland that actually suspended the sleeping ban, ended their sleeping ban in the mid-80s. Unfortunately, it was returned by a political hack, Happy Hal Conklin?
Oh, yeah.
In 1990, and they've had their... I guess it's fallen out of use, but you still have a camping ban in town, but you also have a necessity defense.
Yeah. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
I'm Nancy. I'm sleeping with you.
Oh, you're not doing too good, right?
Okay. Basically, I don't know where to start. I mean, I've been working as an activist since 1980, so it's really, really been a long haul. We started in the 80s when I found out it was against the law to sleep in a car or camp outside. People were going to jail because it was the only shelter we had. So basically, we started working on it, and we got together the Interfaith Council, and we got a family shelter started. And then a long time went by where we had to invite Mitch Schneider to Santa Barbara and do a go to sleep, go to jail campaign. We had to do a lot of protesting. We even had fun blocking the freeway, 101 freeway, and put it to a stop for, I don't know, half an hour, 30 minutes or so on election night because we couldn't vote. So basically, Santa Barbara got the voting rights for the people in the state of California. So that was really hard, and it was a long haul. And then we, I can't even begin to remember all the fun we've had and all the stress we had to go through. We even put a mailbox up at the fig tree, and we held City Hall hostage for 4 months. That was a great time. And we've done a lot of fun things, and Santa Barbara is making a turnaround right now. About 3 years ago, I wrote a grant for the Fund for Santa Barbara, which is a local funding source for social change, and got $7,500 to put on a forum and to create a committee for social justice We needed our lawyers. Legal Defense Center closed, and we needed lawyers back for the homeless. And we were lucky to get the legal project started through the Committee for Social Justice. And Glenn Maurer, our ex-public defender of Santa Barbara County, started working for us. And we have had a number of cases of camping tickets been dismissed because of the necessity defense. It is very, very important, people, to learn about the necessity defense and to get an attorney to take your cases to court and get them dismissed. If they cannot be dismissed, they have to be appealed to the appellate courts of each county, okay? Because once the appellate courts start upholding the necessity defense in every county in the state of California, what are they going to do? Okay? So people have to learn about the necessity defense plea. Santa Barbara lost their tool. Their tool to give us camping tickets. So basically, they have to search. They're in the process of trying to search different strategies to criminalize us once again. So basically, we put a stop to that by creating a task force for the city to work on, right now, the home, people who live in their motorhomes. And so hopefully we'll get, by doing this, we will be able to work on everybody. And that includes the ground pounders, as we call affectionately the people who live in the bushes or in tent cities or whatever. So right now we're trying to get a motor housing park started. We have an organization called Homes on Wheels, and we have filed for nonprofit status so that we can run our own motor housing park rather than having a social service agency do it for us. We might partner with social services, but we're not going to allow them to take over our lives. And that's the way. We have to be independent of that, because it's really important to stabilize people out first before the social services try and take over our lives. That's basically number one. And I feel that's the same way in Isla Vista and any other city. As long as people are stabilized, then they can invite the social services to come in if they feel that it's necessary. The social services seem to think that homeless people cannot take care of themselves. And that's one of the reasons why I went off at the meeting in Isla Vista the other day, because I went off on somebody who said that the homeless couldn't take care of themselves. And that made me mad, because I think we can take care of ourselves very well. Okay? Yeah. Anyway, so I'm just glad that Santa Barbara's making a turnaround, because a day center was created. Yeah, and we need a lot of work on that day center. We need to educate the people who have put this day center together to learn how to operate it a lot better. But I think it'll get better as time goes along. And then we're planning on getting the motor housing park. And I really firmly believe this is going to happen, because the mayor of Santa Barbara is on our board, the Homes on Wheels board. And yeah, she really wants to, she made herself a part of the board. And she has a friend who has property, so we're going to see if we can get that property to open up a motor housing park. And Habitat for Humanity is very interested in helping us build that. So, you know, we're getting there. You know, it's just taking a long time, and I'm about ready to retire myself. It's tiring to be an activist. So, take care.
All right.
See you tomorrow.
So what about San Francisco? We got anybody from San Francisco still hanging out here? I think the Coalition on Homelessness showed up.
Mara?
Mara, the Coalition on Homelessness is one of the most militant organizations and one of the most successful. It publishes Street Sheet. You can catch Street Sheet on the table.
Yeah.
I occasionally am allowed to put a few words into the Street Sheet. I've written a lot more for Street Spirit, but hey, they're both good papers. They're both sold by homeless people. And we actually won a case here in Santa Cruz recently where the police tried to arrest
Steve argued way back in 1998 for selling street newspapers. You can't stop people from selling street newspapers legally in Santa Cruz, and I think that may be the case generally in California, though in other states they're having some controversies and difficulties. Anybody? San Francisco here who wishes to give us a brief update or just sort of say hi or tell us about what's going on up there? Well, hopefully there'll be somebody tomorrow if it doesn't happen today. If you see anybody you recognize from San Francisco, force them to come, just shove them up here. Maybe San Francisco's actually sort of...
San Francisco, Robert, tell us about it.
Oh, well, well, there's going to be a whole long project called the California Homeless Civil Rights Organizing Project on Sunday, which is a group concerned with the civil rights of homeless people. I myself have been a critic of this group because I feel they haven't gone far enough or done enough. Right. And in a word, they got one form they were able to put out over a whole year's worth of work. What was it, $70,000? I don't know. But if we have a sufficiently militant group here, and I think we do, it's possible that we can change this, we can turn this around. Because Coalition of Homelessness is a good group, and I think they can do good things. So, are you knocking? You want to come in here?
Yeah, thank you. Help me up. I can't get up.
Go ahead, Linda.
I have a cute postcard taped to the wall, you know.
Okay, we're interrupting the conversation at the Right to Sleep Summit, which happened a week and a half ago, to take this phone call from Alan. You're in downtown Santa Cruz, Alan?
Yeah, I'm in downtown right now.
And I know earlier your friend, whose name is... I'm going to make sure I have it right.
Ginga.
Ginga. Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
That's all right.
Yeah, I got to get the levels here. He reported in that you had you've been assaulted last night by a number of people, and then essentially treated to insult was added to injury by you were being excluded from the metro area, and the police didn't show up and even deal with the report. But a metro officer witnessed this brutality, but did nothing to stop it.
Yeah, or the security guard that was there, he just yelled at me. I was out. They all jumped me. First thing they did, because I'm a panhandler, homeless, I was panhandling, and I turned on the side and the guy attacked me. He like grabbed a hold of me, and the next thing you know, I tried to get away from him and walk past. About 20 of them jumped on top of me and beat me up.
Now, what was happening before this all happened?
The guy yelled at me across the street, and he yelled something about the guy with the gray hat, and he kept on yelling at me when I walked down the street, and when I came over there, he grabbed me.
Now, where were you walking, and then where did you move to?
I was in front of the Metro bus station, right there where all those kids stand up, in downtown LA.
And you were kind of near the restaurant part of it, or?
I was near the bus stop. I was right on the side where, right across from, there's a bar across the street, right across from there, and it's like right next to the bus station. There's a pizza shop right across the street from it.
Mm-hmm. So this is on that kind of the Pacific Avenue side?
Yeah.
Because the bus metro, of course, extends between the Pacific Avenue and Front Street.
Yeah, this is on Pacific Street.
You were panhandling, you were waiting, you were hanging out, what were you doing?
I was walking down the street in this, and I was walking on the corner, and I wasn't asking at that side, but this guy yelled something, that when I walked past, he grabbed a hold of me. And I got attacked two other times, too, so it's like, it wasn't the only time I got attacked. It was like two other times I got attacked, too. And they have done this to somebody else, too. It's just one area where there's a whole bunch of kids. I got step relatives that are basically in the therapeutic type of. I got a stepmother who's a certified therapist.
Mm-hmm.
Like I could like give them anger management or something like that. That would help them out. You know what I mean? Like get some anger management classes for those kids or.
Okay, before you do that, let me ask you a few more questions about it. Could I?
Right, go ahead.
Okay, so you said you were walking along and this guy shouted, "Hey, you in the gray hat," and he was across the street from you, or he was...
Well, I was across the street, and then when I walked around, he met me up on another corner, and then when I was walking up, he had a radio, and he had music on, and then he grabbed me, and so I grabbed grabbed him back and said, leave me alone. And then another guy ran, and about 20 of them were yelling, and I was trying to back off from them walking away.
You were talking 20 or maybe 5 or 10?
There was about 20 of them there.
So
a whole group of people, they just ran on top of me and started jumping me. I got away. I hurt my kidneys. I couldn't walk a little bit. And because they got me in back, because my same situation is roll up in no ball. And if there's a whole bunch on it, and then I have to just let it go through, you know what I mean, and try to get out as fast as possible, run away or something.
Well, let me ask you this. Which corner was it at that you were actually grabbed? In other words, where in front of...
the Pacific side, right across, right next to the Metro bus station, right there at the steel. There's like concrete steel right there. There's a parking lot, and then right, there's the Metro station, and then there's a where the buses turn in. On that sorter, there's like a concrete turnoff right there.
Mm-hmm.
And right there, that's where they grabbed me.
Now, had you recognized any of these people? How old were they? What they looked like?
They're in their teens, 18, 16, 17.
Anglo 17. Or Anglo, black, Mexican.
Both, a mixture of everything. It was blacks, Anglo, whites. The lady yelled at me, saying something like, "I'm going to sell your ass." Excuse my language, but for 25 cents, and started kept on yelling in my face. And this was a 14-year-old girl saying.
Now, what was the? Did they say anything as to why they were jumping on you? It sounds like they predetermined you were somebody they didn't like.
I got jumped by some other people, and I protected myself. And one of them went to jail, and he put himself in jail, and they blamed me for it. And they keep on attacking me, and I told them to leave me alone, and I say, just leave me alone, and that's it. And what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna walk another direction. I'm not gonna walk down that street again. Why that? When they're out there, I'm gonna walk another street. Cause that's how I'm gonna have to handle it.
So, when did these previous assaults happen?
Just yesterday.
So,
and the other ones happened about 2-3 days ago, 4 or 5 days ago.
So, we're talking 3 assaults or 2?